Well, thank you for being here today at Grace Bible Church. We are baptizing three young ladies this morning. Before we do that, though, I wanted to maybe just take a moment and say just a few words in light of this last week in our country, and not much. There'll be more that will come. It is an appropriate thing this summer later for us to talk about the relationship that the Christian has to authority, governing authorities, and most of all, God, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And so what I wanted to do is just maybe give you a few thoughts, and I hope on behalf of the elders I can give you a few things to think about. First off, if you don't know, on Friday, June 26th, five Supreme Court justices, we have nine, but five in a 5-4 decision redefined marriage for all Americans in all 50 states. Marriage is no longer to be understood exclusively, according to them, as it has for millennia, as between one man and one woman. Same-sex couples now also fall under this new definition of marriage decided by five people. Five. None of the 50 states can pass its own law to the contrary. Congress cannot enact legislation to the contrary of that definition. And the opinion and majority decision of the five has, from their viewpoint and from the way that their opinion has been written, has ended the debate. Much, much more is at stake than just one's view of marriage. There is a huge consequence for just American citizens, all who live in the United States, and it is this, that a sweeping law has come to us all entirely apart from the constitutional path provided for us by the framers of the Constitution. Do you understand that? This did not go through the legislature and work its way to the courts. The courts just decided. And how much longer we as a nation will operate as a constitutional democracy remains to be seen. So much more was at stake than just the institution of marriage in the United States of America. And so much more was at stake than just sexual preference. What is perhaps most chilling is all four dissenting Supreme Court justices, in their dissent, expressed grave concern for what will happen to Americans who will not assent to this redefinition of marriage. So it's not talking heads on the news channels, and it's not pundits saying that they have grave concern. It's the other four Supreme Court justices say they have grave concern for what will happen to Americans who do not agree with this definition, this redefinition of marriage. Those who will not agree with the high court's decision, they have said, will be vilified. And we are the generation of Americans, American citizens, who will test and who will prove just what the U.S. courts will do with those who dissent. It's where God has us. That is where God in his sovereignty placed us. We get to be that generation who will find out what will happen when we dissent. So as American citizens, some of the most important and foundational supports under our nation changed dramatically this week. Constitutional democracy is changing before our very eyes. The definition of marriage just changed before your eyes. And it remains to be seen how religious liberty will change before our eyes. But we are more than American citizens. As citizens of a better country, as Bible-believing Christians, I want to corporately remind us this morning and affirm that for us, nothing foundational has changed at all. Nothing peripheral has changed at all for those who believe Christ. In the slightest, nothing has changed. If we lift our eyes far above every puny human court and lift our eyes and set our minds on the things above where Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God, we clearly see that nothing has changed from his perspective. These words, I think, will, I hope, help us as we think about where we are today and what hasn't changed. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and he had told his disciples where to meet him. And this is what he said, and this is the account in Matthew 28, verse 16. The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, what? All authority. Where? In heaven. And where? On earth. Has what? Been given to me. Jesus said that. And in light of that authority, what is his intent? From that authority, what is his intent for his people? Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So in light of his all-powerfulness, his intent is that we would go and make disciples. And to do that, you must be going. And so, parents, you are going. You are going in your homes. And this morning, we have three young ladies who have come to Christ in their homes. And so you have been making disciples, making followers of Jesus Christ in your home. You don't make disciples in the true sense. Jesus makes disciples, but you are his instrument in his hand so that he is comfortable enough to say to you, make disciples. We are eager to also make disciples on an island nation where we can give a tribe one at a time the scriptures in their own language so that by God's grace someday they will believe, repent, and a church will exist where there has been no church before. We make disciples by baptizing them upon profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And we are going to do that this morning, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. And you make disciples of all nations by teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. And we got to hear, just even from Wayman, about how that is taking place in Ethiopia, how Wayman gets to be a part of that ministry of training and teaching pastors who will then be able to go into their churches and better and more adequately teach the people the unchanging truths of Scripture. And here, I want to affirm for you, from your elders, that we will continue to teach the unchanging truths of Scripture in a changing world. We will continue to teach the unchanging definition of marriage, regardless of what anyone says. And we will teach all of the other unchanging promises of God and commands from him. And notice that Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe them. He doesn't say just teaching them what I commanded, but teaching them, teaching the disciples to observe them, teaching Christians to practice the commands of Jesus in this world. And so that is our commitment to you as a church, is that we're not going to just teach doctrine about what it is, but we are going to teach it that we might obey it and be faithful to him in a world that is changing and making new rules. So the promise from Jesus and all of that is, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If we step out from underneath this great command that he gave in his authority to listen and be influenced by lesser authorities, we unfortunately will forfeit his glorious and kingly presence and his comforting presence as we go into this world. And we won't do that as a church. And so with that, I want to talk about one of those three elements within making disciples. Let's talk about baptism this morning. As I mentioned, we have three young ladies who have professed faith in Jesus Christ and desire to be baptized. And they are obeying this command of Jesus Christ to be baptized upon belief in him, upon becoming his disciple, upon becoming a follower of Jesus. But before we get to the waters of baptism, we need to first talk about the truth concerning sin. Here is the way that our Bible tells us what sin is, and it explains this about ourselves before God. The Bible says that we are sinners. The Bible says that we are transgressors, which means we're like trespassers. There's a line that says, don't go across here, but we transgress it. We are trespassers. We are called by the Bible enemies of God. We are called in Scripture rebellious. We are rebellious against God. We are spoken of as being hostile and engaged in evil deeds, according to Scripture. We are said to be excluded from the life that God himself is, according to Scripture. The Bible says that we are dead in those sins. Before him, we are dead, though we may be living a physical life. We are called children of wrath. We are worthy of his righteous, eternal wrath. And we are called helpless, meaning we can do nothing ourselves to change any of that description given in Scripture. And once you've faced that truth about yourself before God, then you can move to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus bore in his body on the cross sin. Jesus, who himself personally knew no sin, willingly submitted himself in the place of sinners at the cross to bear sin out of his holy Father's sight. His Father looked upon him there as if the sin was his own. So the Father turned his wrath towards his Son in full force and poured out all of his wrath on his Son in the place of sinners. And the penalty due to sinner was paid by Jesus instead on the cross. Forgiveness of sin was purchased because of what the Son and the Father did at the cross. Jesus died, the gospel says, and was buried. And God raised him from the dead 3 days later. And currently, Jesus is at the right hand of God in heaven until it is time to come and put all of his enemies under his footstool, and he will reign. Once you've seen this good news concerning Jesus Christ, you can then move on to the response to Jesus Christ that is called for. Well, for whom is this true? This amazing reality. The Bible tells us that Jesus did this great work at the cross for every single sinner who believes in him. Faith is the right response. Faith is to believe that God did what he said he did at the cross through his Son. That's faith. Faith is to entrust your life to Christ. It's to no longer trust in yourselves. That's what we come out of the womb only knowing how to do, is to trust in ourselves. And so faith is that great looking away from yourself in order to entrust yourself to Jesus. He is the focal point of faith. Faith is not the focal point of faith. Jesus is the deposit, the one that faith is deposited in. And all who do this, all who have done this, all who will do it, are the ones for whom forgiveness of sins is promised. On the basis of that faith in Jesus Christ alone, the gospel declares that the believer is now righteous in God's sight. God looks at that one as if sin has never touched his life or ever could touch his life. And good deeds have absolutely nothing to do with it. You do not bring anything to this salvation transaction. You simply look away from yourself and cast yourself on Jesus in faith. So we said before you can ever get to the waters of baptism, you need to first get to the truth about sin and then the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then there's the response to Jesus Christ. And These three young ladies today profess this biblical response to Jesus. They are believers in Jesus Christ. And now we get to talk about what the water is all about. It's really as simple as obedience to Jesus. Jesus determined that one of the very first acts of obedience to him is this, to be put all the way underwater and to come all of the way out of water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three today simply just want to obey Jesus and be baptized because of their belief in his saving work at the cross and in the empty tomb for them. But there is also a really simple picture here put on display in the waters of baptism. It's this picture that going under the water pictures union with Christ in his death and burial, that they have died with Christ. And coming out of the water pictures them being united with Christ in his resurrection, which means they have come into a new life with him. They've been raised to walk in newness of life with him. These are spiritual realities that have already taken place when they were born again. But they get to put that picture on display as they come into the water and come out of it. And water baptism is also as simple as public identification. And this is something that's going to come more and more into play for the church in America than it ever has before. Because now you have to identify with this group who now is being marked out as really different. Do you understand? Whenever a believer gets baptized, the believer is declaring before the public that he or she is now a member of that group of the followers of Jesus Christ. And there is now going to be a cost with that that maybe there hasn't been before. All of you will know today that these three young believers in Jesus want to be identified as one of you, with us. Three believers in Jesus are associating themselves publicly with a bunch of other believers in Jesus who are known as Grace Bible Church.